Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world that doesn't know God and needs more love? I mean, how can I become light in this present darkness? How can I become a tool in the hand of God making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day? And that is what this show is all about. So glad you could join us. Happy New Year. I do want to welcome Detroit, Michigan, our newest affiliate into the Daily Living family. Good to have you along. Got a great show for you today. But before we get into it, it is time for viewer mail. Our first letter coming from Tim, and he's from Eastman, Pennsylvania. Dear Father Chapin, I've been listening to you for almost a year now, and every segment just gets better. I love your show so much that I couldn't keep it to myself, so I started sharing your show with a few, and now over 50 people. Now, that's great. It's all about carrying the message. Everyone likes the way you put things into context and makes God's Word come to life. You have such a gift. Most of my friends that I share with are Protestants, and they love your show, even though they feel more comfortable calling you Brother Chape. And that's fine. You can call me Brother Chape. That's fine. So anyway, keep on taking those vitamins, because we know the best vitamin for a Christian is B1. This guy's awesome. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that, Tim. Our next letter coming from Tom. Short. Father Chapin, I enjoy your Bible stories. Send me what I need. Send you what you need. I'll tell you what you need. You need Jesus, right? So I sent him this card. I said, this is what you need, my friend. Do we have time for another? Well, no, I don't think so. Let us quiet our minds and put ourselves in the presence of God. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told to them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The gospel of the Lord. What a gospel it is. My friend, this is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We're going to be right back, and we're going to talk about, well, a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living, and together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Happy New Year. And as we begin yet another year, the church celebrates, as it always does, on the first day of the year, the solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. And we find ourselves today in the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, where Luke is telling his Christmas story. Now, of course, if you were with us last week on Christmas, we had the Christmas story according to the Gospel of John, where he narrowed the whole thing down to just four words. The Word became flesh. But Luke has more to say. And while typically you might begin a story with once upon a time, Luke chooses to place his Christmas story in the context of rulers. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. When Quirinius was governor of Syria. So Luke is putting his finger into the middle of human history, and he starts with Caesar Augustus, who of course is a king. And today, as we begin this new year, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about this king as well as another, and what we will call the tale of two kings. So let's start with this first king, Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus was born Gaius Octavius from the house of Octavian, which was a house of nobility, so he's born into a family of both means and influence. His father was a Roman senator, but died young. And when Gaius was about 12, he was given the opportunity to speak at his aunt's funeral. And Julius Caesar, who happened to be the emperor at the time and also his great uncle, was at that funeral. And Julius Caesar was so impressed with this boy that when his father died, he adopted him as his own son. In time, Julius Caesar would be murdered. History records it as the Ides of March, and Gaius was heir to the throne. He is considered to be the founder of the Roman Empire. He started an imperial cult. It's known as Pax Romana, also known as Pax Augusta. And this cult brought 200 years of peace. So Caesar Augustus is literally known for bringing peace on earth. But of course, he used far from peaceful means to get the job done. In fact, to consolidate his own power, he had 300 Roman senators executed in one day, along with 2,000 Roman knights. He then renamed himself Augustus Caesar and started a new religion, where he declared his adopted father, Julius Caesar, as divine. He then had a temple built to worship him as a god, which of course made him the son of God. So that's one king, born of nobility. But there's another king who was born in a manger. So we have one whose adopted father was an emperor, while we have the other whose adopted father is a carpenter. The first died with great honor. He was regarded as the one who saved the world. They even built a temple that still stands today in his honor, with a plaque on the wall that reads, Achievement of the Divine Augustus. The second king died in agony on a lonely hill just outside of Jerusalem, with a plaque over his head mocking him, reading, The King of the Jews. One ruled over the known world, while the other could have, but chose not to, because his motives were far different than gaining power. His motive was to save this fallen world. So here we have two kings. And from the very beginning, these two kings have been at war. And that war continues till this day. Consider the season that we find ourselves in right now, Christmas, Christ Mass. It is the anniversary of one king's birth. But what does the other king say? No, it's not Christmas. It's Happy Holiday, because that king is offensive. What about prayer in school? One king asks us to find our gratitude in prayer, While the other king says, no, no, prayer is offensive. What about the Ten Commandments? Hanging in a courtroom. The bedrock of the law. Principles that guide our daily living. The other king says, no, God is offensive. Our country was founded upon Christian principles. But the other king says, no, Christianity is offensive. In the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we read a parable called the Parable of the Vineyard. And in that parable, the owner of the vineyard sends his son and they kill him. That parable highlights our world today. Jesus is offensive. Kill him wherever you find him. And that's just the battle that we can clearly see. Imagine the battle that is raging that we cannot see. But getting back to Caesar Augustus, he went on to form a new Senate and then changed his name again to Octavius Augustus. And the Senate declared him divine. So now he's Octavius Augustus, Son of God, Savior of the world. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. So, if you wanted to become a part of Pax Romana, if you wanted to become a part of peace on earth, if you want to have any chance to thrive in prosperity, well, then you got to register in his kingdom. But the other king also gives us a decree in which we must be registered. But he's offering a whole different kind of peace. It's a peace that goes beyond all human understanding. It's an eternal peace, an eternal peace, an everlasting peace. And it is a peace that is available to you today, right here, right now. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back, and we will continue with our tale of two kings here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we were talking about two kings, and they are both offering you peace, but of a different kind. Now, if you go to the Gospel of John, the third chapter, you will meet a man named Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee, and he's part of the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling body of Judaism. So Nicodemus, he's a big deal. And of course, he hears all about Jesus. Now, his own people, they don't like him, but Nicodemus is his own man. So he decides to go see for himself. But he wants to keep it on the down low, so he goes at night, keeps it secret. And Jesus ends up very much confusing Nicodemus when he looks at him and he says, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus found this very confusing. And to be quite honest, it is a bit confusing. Unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does that really mean? Well, let's start with that word see for a moment. We've talked about this many times before, but The Greek language is much more precise than the English language. Take, for example, the word love. We got one word for love. The Greeks have four words for love. And when we look at the English word for see, we assume a literal visual observation, something that I see, I perceive with my eye. But the Greek word goes way beyond that. The Greek word for see is eidon, and it means to know, to be aware, to consider, to perceive, to be sure, to understand. So you can see that this word is much more about mental appreciation than simply visual sight. That is, I get it, I understand, now I see. Now, of course, when Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born from above or born again, Nicodemus, he didn't get it. In fact, I invite you, you should take the time to read the Gospel of John, chapter 3, is really good. But Jesus concludes his conversation with Nicodemus by saying, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. But getting back to that whole idea of being born from above, being born again, what exactly is that? How do I do that? Well, I guess it begins with what king you're listening to. In which kingdom do you reside? The kingdom of this world that claims that, well, all the power is within you, or the kingdom of heaven that says you must be born again? This is the battle, and it is raging around us every day. Meanwhile, churches are empty. I know, I got three churches, and you know what they all have in common? Empty pews. Now, as Catholics, we have Mass, and we receive Holy Communion. It is the body of Christ. It is the new covenant. It is how we are continually born again. But here's my question. Is the act of receiving the body of Christ alone, is that enough? Well, according to Paul, in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, he writes, no matter how well you practice the law, it is not enough to cover your sin. Because only our high priest Jesus can do that when he went to the cross and offered one sacrifice. And he is the one whom we receive at communion. But Jesus is saying that we must be born from above. Again, what does that mean? What does it mean to be born from above or born again? What would that look like? Well, I guess we would first have to acknowledge that if one is born again, that would mean that one has changed, correct? And what does change require? Well, according to Sir Isaac Newton's first law of motion, everything continues in a state of rest. That is its natural state, unless it is compelled to change by forces impressed upon it. So let's consider that word impressed or impression. What is required for an impression? Isn't it true that an impression can only happen from an outside source? So to be born from above or born again requires an outside force to create change. And you know, the one thing about an outside force, it is by definition not us. Meanwhile, one king says, well, of course it is. You have the power within you. In fact, I will make a decree. You register with me. You follow my rules. I'll give you all that you need, which is nothing but a rehash of the big lie first whispered in the garden. You don't need a king. You can be your own king. Meanwhile, the other king says you must be born again, which again comes from an outside force, something outside of yourself. Two decrees, two different registries. One requires you to follow the rules and you will prosper. The other requires that you be born from above or born again. How do we do that? Well, if you really want to know the answer to that question, I would suggest that you pick up your Bible, dust it off, and read the Gospel of John, chapter 14 through 17. Because it's all there, black and white. It's all about the Holy Spirit, this teacher, this advocate that will lead you and guide you into a conscious contact with your Father. The act of being born from above requires a power greater than yourself. It requires a force that can change you from the inside out. I call it the quiet voice. A voice that will guide you in your daily living. A voice that will allow you to see what you cannot see. A voice that will allow you to hear Scripture and find illumination. A voice that will allow you to understand what is confusing. A voice which is the engine of your faith. That is a gift that is available to you right here, right now, today. Absolute knowing that I am born from above. So, two decrees by two different kings. Both promise peace. One promises an earthly peace and pleasure and prosperity. You know, they eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. The other promises a different kind of peace. As I said, it is a peace that goes beyond all human understanding, regardless of the consequences. And it promises eternal life. So I guess the question is this: which kingdom are you registered in? One king says, enroll with me, follow my ways, and I'll bring you the dream. He's got a wide road. The other says, you must be born from above, born again, which requires change. And change is hard for people. I know, because I'm a people and it's hard for me. How can we really be born again? Well, anybody that has been watching Daily Living for any amount of time would know that I'm a big fan of AA. Of course, everybody's heard about the 12 steps and everybody pretty much, well, that's all about quitting drinking, right? Well, actually, not really. I mean, it is true that millions of people have found sobriety and quit drinking as a result of working the 12 steps. That is true. But sobriety is really more of a byproduct of a much larger thing that's going on. And that much larger thing that's going on is referred to in the 12th step. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, spiritual awakening, that's being born from above. Being born from above, which is a whole lot more than simply not drinking. So how can we do this? Well, let's consider the first step, which is by far the most important step. You don't get this step, you can't even get on the staircase. First step, we have admitted that we are powerless. You want to be born again? Admit that you are powerless over your habitual sin. And that no matter how hard you try to be good, your sin nature will continue. That's number one. The P word, powerless. And that's a hard one for us to get because we are filled with pride. So powerlessness is something very difficult for us to really wrap our minds around. But that's the first step. and it's the most important. Step number two. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. My friends, that power is Jesus Christ, and he's available to you right here, right now. Step three. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Well, I guess it's time. That third step's all about a decision. Are you ready to make your decision? Once upon a time, three frogs sat on a log next to a pond. It was a hot day. And after having sat there for some time, one of those frogs made the decision to jump into the water. How many frogs are left on the log? Now, you might be tempted to say two, but the answer is three. Why? Because that frog had only made a decision. He hadn't actually done anything yet. What about you, my friend? As we begin yet another year, are you ready to make your decision? And when you do, what are you gonna do? To which kingdom do you belong? You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. And remember, if you don't have faith, you don't have a prayer. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.